Take a look in Majlis Rebbe's Sefer in Divrei Yisrael this week. It's some interesting stories, actually. So let's see what he had to say. So it says in this week's Parsha, it begins with the story of Yisroel, that Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law Yisroel notices that Moshe is teaching, and he says, "You're going to collapse. It's too much for you. You're sitting here, and day and night, you know, the entirety of Klai Yisrael coming to learn from you. You won't be able to handle it. It's too much." So that was the famous etzah that Yisroel gave him, that he should give over to the Sarei Alafim, Sarei Meos, and he should divide it up so that he will be able to handle the amount of queries and questions he was getting. So the question he asked him was, "Madua ata yoshev levadcha v'chol ha'am nitzav alecha? Why is it you're sitting here alone and everybody's literally standing on top of you the whole time?" So says the Yisroel, b'derech tzachus, which means sort of like lightly speaking, almost humorously, al pi anitpas b'kvar b'seder adoyres hachadosh b'shem adoni v'nizikeni. So he's talking about a story that's published in Seder Adoyres Hachadosh about his illustrious grandfather Kozhmir. Kozhmir Rebbe, pam achas balafon of adam echad rishol etza mimenu. So he says, let's compare the story. Just like these people came to ask an etza from Moshe, so someone once came to my grandfather and asked him an etza. You know, people go to rebbes and they ask them for etzas. So this happened to my grandfather. Bihisnagus hamischar v'chadem v'lo anahu. So this person came and did what a lot of people did. They go to the rebbe and they say, "Listen, I have this in this business and I have this in this transaction, and can you give me some advice?" But the rebbe didn't tell him anything. He wouldn't answer him. So he stood there like, why isn't the Rebbe like answering me? Could it be that like it's too gashmistic? Like the Rebbe is holding like up here and talk about business. It's not, you know, the Rebbe is a tzaddik. He thinks about Torah and Yiddishkeit and Yiddish Shemayim. They talk about business matters. And then one of the chassidim of the Kozhmir came in, one of the people that were close to the Rebbe already, and he asked him a matter of this, and the Rebbe answered him, and the Rebbe gave him a bracha that he should be matzliach. So this guy saw that it's not beneath the Rebbe to talk about business and give brachas about business. So my high, like, what's the difference? Ah, because he's a chassid and I'm not, so like you're paying favorites here, like what's the story? As he is boy ha'ish, he had a little chutzpah, he was Jewish. So I thought, listen, the reason you're not answering me is because you're above things from this world, like business stuff, business matters, it's petty. And you're a big tzaddik and you're interested in, you know, like Hele Gazach and things that are up there. Im ken lama, if that's true though, lama yarbe kvodu gudar bin yonei haivu elam hazeh, ima odem mahu ba'avu shu man shishloima. So, okay, so you're going to tell me that you're so above that. If you're above all that, how come with your chassidim you're willing to talk about it, but with me you're not? Are you playing like favorites? What is it? V'yan adoyni ovi zekeni zal, and my illustrious grandfather Kozhmir Rebbe said, la'odem ahu v'yivtach bi b'mashal. He answered him with a mashal. He told him a mashal. He said to him a story. Once upon a time, there was a soicher echad shenasa Leipzig al yarid likna sam schoira. The fair in Leipzig was one of the largest fairs in Europe at the time. It was very well known, historically speaking, the fair in Leipzig. So that's the example he gave. There was a certain merchant, and he went to deal in business. He went to the fair in Leipzig. V'yavel soicher galdum nichbade knanim v'kana sham harbis schoira. And he went over to one of the non-Jewish merchants, and he bought a lot of merchandise from him. He was so busy buying merchandise from this one merchant that he spent the entire time there, I guess day in and day out, until the entire fair was over. So the servant came in and said, "Listen, my master, you were so busy here the entire time with this merchant in this store. You know, the entire fair is over. Everybody's folded up everything. Everybody's left. It's gone. It's empty. But we neglected to buy any type of pitch, any type of oil to oil up the wheels of the wagon. How are we going to go home? How are we going to take all this merchandise back? The wagon's not going to go anywhere. And the fair is over, and we didn't buy the pitch, and we didn't buy the oil, and we can't go. We have to oil the wheels with something. So then this merchant, the non-Jewish merchant, who had been selling all his merchandise the entire time to this Jewish person, heard what the servant had told him. He overheard the conversation. He told him, listen, Al Tira, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I brought plenty of pitch and plenty of oil for my carriage, for my coach. I have plenty. I'll give you some. Don't worry. Relax. We'll finish up our business. We'll finish up our calculations and we'll take care of our transaction. There's nothing for you to worry about. So they're having this conversation. Meanwhile, somebody else comes in, and he also needed pitch for his wagon. And he overhears the conversation between these two people. Don't worry, I have plenty of pitch, I have plenty of oil, you don't have to worry. So this guy thinks, oh, no problem. Listen, I hear that you have pitch and oil. I also need it. I'm not asking for a favor, but I'm willing to buy it. You know, tell me how much the price is, and I'll pay you whatever it costs. So this other merchant, the non-Jewish merchant who's giving the pitch to the guy who's buying from him, says, what do you think, that I'm a pitch salesman? Like, I sell tar and pitch and oil, that's what I do? Like, it's a mechubadik merchant who sells extremely, you know, fancy merchandise. That's what I'm selling, like pitch and oil? Ain't any mocher zefes? I don't sell that type of stuff. Rak, what is it? Hasocher ahu asher kana mimeni schora harbe. Alken eni leitel me'at zefes asher evesi mi bavur tzarche. Listen, he's been buying merchandise for me this whole time. He's done huge transactions with me. So I'm willing to do him a favor and give him some pitch, some tar, and some oil for his wagon because I brought extra with me. Aval ata? Who? You? Mari v'recha? What do I have to do with you? You can come and buy other merchandise from me. You come and want to buy that? That's what you want to buy from me? I don't even sell that. V'chena dover ze, said the Kashmir back to this man. It's exactly the same thing with you. This chassid, what do you think? He comes to me all the time to ask about Darke Hashem, chassidus and Torah and Yiras Shemayim and all the Himmel Shezach and all the things that are Omdim Rishon Lishma, all the most important things in Ruchnius. He comes and he asks me. And so therefore, right? Just like a coach doesn't drive without oiling the wheels, so his coach, his life isn't going to drive without oiling the wheels. I have to oil his wheels for him. He needs help in Parnassa. So listen, I'm not a pitch salesman, but like he's been buying merchandise from me the whole time, so I'm willing to give him some of my pitch, no problem. I'll give him an Eitzah Bracha also in Gashmias. On them Ata, but you? You never come to me to ask me Ruchniastic things. You only want pitch. And you only want oil for your wagon wheels. And all this Narish is that's what you come to me for. So what do we have to do with each other? So this is a Majitzer based on this mashal and this story. So I'm going to explain the story of Yisra and Moshe. Madua ata yoyshe v'chol ha'am nitzav alecha min boiker ad erev. Why, Moshe, are you sitting? Said Yisra to his son-in-law. Are you sitting, you know, from morning till evening? Amar b'loshon ha'am. Who's coming to you? Ha'am, the people. Haynu osan anashim mehamon ha'am. Like the the majority of the populace, like the everyday people. What is it that all these people are coming to ask you? The Hamon Am, like the majority of the people that are coming to ask about Gashmiistic things. So what is it, Moshe? These people are standing day and night waiting for an answer. Why aren't you answering them? What is it? Why do they have to stand day and night? Why don't you just give them an answer and send them home? Heshuva Moshe, ki yavo elai ha'am lidro shelokim, ki yelahem daber ba'elai. When the people that want to come and darshan elokim, when people want to know godly things from me, let them come to me and I'll answer them. Perish kashi yavo elai lidro shelokim, lilmo darke Hashem, to learn Torah, to learn mitzvahs, to learn Yiras Shemayim, az ki yelahem daber. Then if they have another question about, you know, things from Olam Hazeh, then they can come and ask me. If you're a dover mid miyane olam hazeh gamken boy lai l'shum lev alem, then I'm going to obviously pay attention to him. Have a osam shein a boyim lidro shelokim rak yelahem dover tzarkam by lai al kain ein any pon elem kedivre adon izakim nizal. So obviously the lesson here is like this: that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that we need parnasa, we need things from Olam Hazeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I put in this world the rabbanim and leaders and tzaddikim, and they're going to give you guidance, but don't think that you can only come to them when you need help in Olam Hazeh, because they're there to teach you the drachim of Darkei Hashem, Torah and mitzvahs and Yiras Shemayim and all the things that you need. And if you think you can come to them only when you need a few dollars, so that's not the answer. That's not the derech. There were certain tzaddikim that I guess had no problem with that, but that wasn't the derech of the Kushmir and the Mojitze. So that was one nice story I saw. I saw another thing. Quite a few of them, actually. This is another story he had about his grandfather, about the Kashmir. Shai Rav Chassid Echad Beir Nashalaslik Shnizgadol Bein HaMisnagdim. So there was a Rav who became a Chassid. He grew up among the Misnagdim, among those people who were against Chassidus. V'achar kach nasal istofet betzel adem Mizkeni. Afterwards he came and became a Chassid by the Kashmir. But he had a certain problem, because he grew up among the Misnagdim. Darka haya lishol achkor talmid adark chassidim. He had this issue that no matter what chassidim did, whatever thing looked to him strange, it bothered him. So he kept like asking, like, why are you doing these things? Like, so strange. Whatever the chassidim did, it didn't appear to him to be normal. Upamachas aya etzel nizkeni v'yom v'achronim v'duchag ha-sukkos. And one time he came to the Kashmir for Sukkos. Chassidim had minig in Chutz La'aretz that many of them did not sit in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres, and if they did, it was only by Kiddush. So he like was really weird. Like, what? He never saw such a minig. What are you not sitting in the Sukkah for? I'll tell you a story. So he said, the minute he walked in, he didn't even get a chance to ask. He didn't get a chance to open his mouth. And the Rebbe said, I'll tell you a story. What is the story he told him? So I'll tell you a funny story. Pamachas heisig melech echad me'alaraz tzayar nifla mufrag be'umnus atzir. There was a certain king, and he got a painter, and this painter was unbelievable. He was an unbelievable artist. So this guy was so good that he could paint a painting, and even though it was flat, he made it so 3D, three-dimensional, that it looked lifelike. He was an amazing artist. And he said, come see our wonderful place and watch what this artist will do. Paint something. And he painted a beautiful picture. And he called and invited all the most important, you know, ministers from all the foreign lands. He made a big suda, a big party. And this guy, this artist, painted a field, Sier Sade, Imashiborim, imkash v'haisa niris mechuvan kisade omedis im shibolin v'kash. And he drew this wheat field, and you could see the stalks of wheat standing, and it looked real. V'herlehem zos v'nispalim, and the king showed them, and everybody was like, wow, this is unbelievable. Al golda yofi ha'umnis k'mos sadim, it looked so realistic. It's like a real field. V'amad merachok kafri achad. So far away was standing some country bumpkin. V'ra'es ha'tzir v'amar la'melech she'enu mechuvan z'etzir k'sadim. This guy is standing in front, he goes, what's so special about this painting? It doesn't look real. Why not? Said the king. Listen, when you see a real field, the breeze makes the stalks of wheat, like, you know, like they shake back and forth. But these stalks of wheat, they stand still and they don't move. So obviously it's not real. Right? The king was upset. He gave him back his painting and said, listen, take it back. And he commanded, make me a new picture that no one's going to say anything about. Make me something better. Also, so he painted this wonderful well and a bucket, and a man standing pulling the bucket out of the well to give it to the animals to drink, and it was lifelike and it was real. And the king again, he made a big party, he invited all the most important people. Wow, what a beautiful painting. It looks so real, it looks so lifelike. And our country bumpkin comes over. And he takes a look at this painting, and he does his work, and he says, one second. This doesn't look like a real well. Look, if it was a real well, and this person was a real person, so when he pulls the bucket up, so he moves himself up and down and back and forth, and this man's standing still like a statue. Obviously, it's not a real thing. Batsir Metzayer Adam Omed Veoches Bedri Belit Nua, and he doesn't move. Hechzir Latzayer Satsir. The king gave him back the painting. Vitzivosh Yitzayer is a Dover Muflod Beshlemus Shoyas Bayesho. Don't embarrass me and shame me. Make some things really lifelike and real. Halach Vitziris Hamalka Shela Melech Betmunasa Ulavusha Vitachshitea Mechuven Mamish Kvishayu Akomakir Mosa. He painted a portrait of the queen. And he made her so lifelike with the clothes that she wore and the jewelry. He made her look like a real living queen. Wow, everybody said, what a beautiful painting. It's so lifelike. This portrait, it looks like a photograph. It looks real. It looks exactly like the queen, down to every last detail. What do you think happened? Hakafri hanal he'iz panav. This guy had a lot of chutzpah, and he said, "Shlo tov asa tmuna." Listen, this painting isn't really lifelike. You know why? Ki amaka yesh la charitzim al mitzcha. The queen, you know, when she talks and stuff, you can see the wrinkles. Kedeach adam shemisnani macharitzim shal metzach. When they speak, you see wrinkles in the forehead, and this queen, she looks too perfect. When the artist heard, he didn't wait for the king. When the artist this chutzpah, he walked over to this guy and he slapped him across the face. He said to him, chutzpah! Okay, listen, a field. Maybe you have a saga, you understand something about a field. A well. But a queen? You think you understand the queen? What have you had to do with royalty? You have nothing to understand about it. It has nothing to do with you at all. That's the story, said the Rebbe. And the Rebbe turned to this guy and said to him, Amar Rav, lech b'chol tuv, lo hispik od l'shol. Listen, go home, don't ask questions. Al tistaka b'darkei ha'tzadik, ki gavu d'rachav me'arkeinu. And basically the story was, listen, if you can't understand the ways of the tzaddikim, don't always ask. And that's the madrig of a chassid, that a chassid knows that if he asks seeking to understand, it's one thing. But if you ask With a chutzpah, it's a different type of thing. So sometimes we see things by tzaddikim, by rebbes, we don't understand. And the answer is not always to ask those types of questions. So those are two interesting stories I saw. Let's learn something. So I'm going to teach you something from Rav Leibel Eger from Torah Semes. Just tell you something about Rav Leibel Eger. He was obviously an einikol from the famous Rav Akiva Eger. And he became a chassid. And his father, I believe it was Shlomo Eger, was beside himself. He was mamish like an avelis when he heard that his son ran off to the Kotzker. And this is, you know, Rabbi Akiva Eger's grandson. And he was also a gaon in learning. He wasn't just from the family. He was set to be one of the next poskei hador. And when he became a chassid in Kotzk, it was unthinkable. And his father was mamish tzibroch. And he sent people to try and convince him to come back. And one of the stories said they found him washing his socks by the river. And it's horrible. This is like the huge time. This is what they're making you do here in Kotzk. They're making you wash your own socks, like, you know. And part of Kotzk was humility. You know, not to think great. So they didn't care. So it was Rabbi Kivir's grandson. Big deal, you know. Prove yourself to be who you are. It has nothing to do with the fact that you're... But they couldn't handle it, and they were so upset. Bekitzer, he stayed there. He became a Hasidish follower of the Kotzker, and a Talmud, and a disciple. And afterwards, when the Ishbitzer left Kotzk, he went along with the Ishbitzer. And eventually became a Rebbe in Lublin. One story they tell over about him, to give you an idea of the Yiras Shamayim that Rav Leibel Eger had, is the one time he was sitting and learning. And for some reason, I don't remember the reason why exactly, the Paritz's wife showed up, and she knocked on the door. And his wife, he used to have, like back then when you used to get married, so a lot of times your father-in-law would support you. And they gave him, when he was still a young chassan, they gave him a place where he could sit and learn. And he had like his own little room, his own little area there in the house. And she came to ask something, I guess, from his wife, and she knocked on the door. He was busy learning. He was so busy learning, like, you know, really learning, he didn't notice anybody knocking at the door. So she opened the door. Paritz's his wife, you know, like she's like mamish, like the queen in the area. No problem. She opened the door herself. She came in and she heard this like angelic voice of somebody like singing and learning. And she wanted to see who she comes in. And she's just like staring at him. She never saw something like that before. And he's totally absorbed in his learning. He doesn't notice a thing. Finally, at some point, she was pretty upset that, like, you know, he doesn't even notice her there. So she like made some sort of a noise or something, like or something like that, and caught his attention. He looked up and he saw the Paritz's wife. Now the Paritz's wife wasn't dressed exactly the way tzniyistic a Jewish lady's dressed. She was dressed like the Paritz's wife. And he didn't understand, like, what in the world is this woman doing here? Like, he's alone. And he realized that he's alone with her. And she was standing in front of the door, and he realized that there was no escape out there, so he jumped out the window. He didn't want to be over on Yichud, so what are you supposed to do? So he jumped out the window. I think he was on the second story. I believe they said that he limped for the rest of his life. But, you know, that was the type of Yiras Shamayim that he had, Rav Leibel Eger. So he says to us in Parshas Yisroi, Vayushma Yisroi, the beginning of, you know, this Parsha is amazing. It's the Parsha of Matan Torah. And it's not called Parshas Matan Torah. It's not called Parshas Siras Adibris. It's not called Parshas Maimad Har Sinai. It's called Parshas Yisra. So why is that? Why is the story of Aseres Adibris, of Matan Torah, of Maimad Har Sinai, the experience that the Rambam explains is the forging of the Jewish people into a nation? Why is it called Parshas Yisra? Why is that the Hakdama? Why is that story the introduction to Matan Torah? V'yishma Yisrael Shloimer Shizeh Apostuk Hu Hakdama L'Matan Torah Shebesidra Hazos. Why? Ladas She'ikar Hi Hashmia V'yishma Yisrael. The most important thing, the most important introduction to being able to accept and receive the Torah is to hear and to listen and to accept and to pay attention. L'hatos Ozno V'ribo L'iskarev Elav Yisboirach. That a person has to train his ear and his heart to listen to Hashem. Ki gam mishu b'madrega p'chusa, even the person who could be on the lowest of all levels, v'meruchak meod, and he could be very, very far. U'ksheroitza l'hatos levavo l'shmoa mehayom v'hala yuchal iskarev. Because the message of Yisroi is no matter how far you are from Hashem, as long as you train your ears and listen, and point your heart in the right direction to receive, you can also come very, very close. Ki be'emes gam ha'ish ha'oisek b'toyret tamid v'oisek b'mitzvahs hu roya gam ken shul meruchak. Because a person who's truly toiling in Torah all the time realizes just how very far he is. Because, listen, if you don't learn a lot, you might think you're quite accomplished. But whoever learns and studies seriously knows that the Torah is so infinite and so endless, and there's so many sfarim, and there's so much to learn, that you might feel like you can never, ever get there. And therefore you feel very, very distant and far away. Who could say that he's really so close? The only thing is that we try all the time to come closer. Similarly, any person who's very far, just like a person who's already sitting and learning, absorbed in Torah the entire day in the Beis Medrash, even he feels that he's far away from ever accomplishing everything if he's in the right mindset. So too, a person who's actually quite far, because he's not on the Madriga where he's sitting and learning all day, and he's not constantly involved in Kedusha, still, Kshemate Ozna B'tshukas Libo, if he just trains his ears because his heart so desires, Kemo Yisro. Remember who Yisro was? Sha'ish HaMeruchak Me'od. Yisro was quite far. B'tachlis HaRichlik, as far as you can possibly get. What does it say about Yisro in the Gemara in the Midrash? Yisro was called Kohen Midian because he was the top priest of all the Avodah Zarahs. Not only that, he had tried every single form of idolatry and idol worship out there. Uberega echad kshehita ozno lishmoa niskarev miyad elakdusha. Yisro is the prime example. Think of it. He is the one who served every foreign idol there could be, every type of Avodah Zarah out there. That's Yisro, the Kohen Midian. But Vayishma Yisro, as soon as he heard what happened by Kriyas Yam Suf and Mechamas Amalek, and he decided to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was able to. Even he was able to draw near. V'zeu ha'nemar behascholos Matan Torah. And that's the message before Matan Torah. V'ata im shmora tishmu b'koili. Come and listen to my voice, says Hashem. Says Rashi, im ata tekabru aleichem, ye'arav lachem mikan ve'ilach. If you accept upon yourselves to listen now, it'll be sweet for you from here on. She'ikar l'skarav l'divre Torah hu batayas ozen halev. The most important thing is to accept Torah. If you want to prepare yourself for Matan Torah, you have to listen. You have to open your heart and be ready to accept. U'miyad she'anu mishtoikikim v'notim es levavenu techif anu miskarvim. As soon as you're ready to open your heart, as soon as you're ready to listen, as long as that's true, right away, immediately, you're able to come close. V'nish palanu, kol atovos v'ashpaos harimurazim b'pasuk. And then we're able to bring to ourselves every single one of the most beautiful benefits and all the wonderful blessings and shefa, which are all in the pasuk, v'yisem li segura mikol ha'amim. Because Hashem says, you will be my most precious treasure from among all the other nations. That's the promise of Matan Torah. Accept my Torah, accept my mitzvahs, go in my path and in my ways, and you will be the most treasured possession I have. Shigam kol ha-chemdes ha-nimtzayim b'olam hazeh yu gam ken nishpoim lanu. And then all the most wonderful things that we have will come to us. Because there are things like gold and silver, ki yeshchem des mokeis of hazav, shemish yeshol mea misav lamatayim, ad shenimtza mi shechomed l'sgulas merachim. So some people, they want gold and silver, you have one, you want more, you have 100, you want 200. Until you want the most greatest treasures there are. V'cholachem dos eu af begashmis yu nishpoim lanu. And even those things, we will get them too. V'od zos shegam anu batzmenu niyas gula. Not only will we be zoiche to the most greatest treasures, physically speaking, we will be the most treasured possession among as well. And it all comes from training your ears and listening. Because by just listening and training your ears, it's all you need to become close to Hashem, just like Yisro. And we said before, a person who's sitting and learning all day, he realizes just how far he is from ever ending it all. The closer a person comes to Hashem, the more distant he feels that he is. But that distance, he says, is a true closeness. When a person comes as close as he possibly can to Hashem, that is the moment that he feels the most distant away. The Baal Shem Tov said a mashal. It says in the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Al Ken Alamos Ahavucha. So he said a mashal that it's just like when a father teaches his child how to walk. So the first step, the father takes his child's hands and he walks with him together, step by step. And the child is all happy, starting to walk, and Tati's holding my hands, and he never felt so close and so happy. And then at some point his father lets go and moves all the way to this side of the room. And the child stands there and he feels like he's totally been like abandoned. Like, what did you let me go for? I can't do this, but I'm gonna fall. And his father's standing there from a distance saying, come, come, come on, take another step, come on. And then if the child realizes that he can do it on his own, and he takes one step, and he teeters as he falls, takes another step, and eventually he runs across the room into his father's arms. So Baal Shem Tov says, that's what happens to us with Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu holds our hands, we feel so close to him, and then at some point all of a sudden, at the moment you feel so close, he lets go. And you're like, oh my gosh, Hashem, where did you go? Why did you let me go? I'm going to fall. And the answer is, I want you to learn to walk on your own. Because the love of a father for his children is to teach them to walk on their own. Because if he's going to always hold his child's never going to learn to walk. Right? If you want to teach your child to ride a bike and you never take off the training wheels, he's never going to learn how to ride the bicycle. He's got to fall a few times. Right? I saw recently someone wrote an article that part of the most important things in success is failure. Because if you never fail, you probably never succeed. Real success. To get to real success, you have to fail a few times. Right? To get to the real way of learning how to ride on your own, how to walk on your own, sometimes you have to fall. Sometimes you have to let go. So Kadosh Baruch Hu does that. We think we're so close, all of a sudden we feel like he let go, like he's far away. Why is that? And the answer is because you've never been so close before. Because now you're learning to walk on your own. L'chem yad achar matan Torah ne'emar v'yar ha'am v'yanu'u v'yamdu merachok. After Matan Torah, it said they heard and stood from afar. Matan Torah was closest experience that you could possibly have with Hashem next to Kriyas Yam Suf. God spoke to them, and they received the Torah. Ki mizeh hayalem iskarvus hagadol shematan Torah. It's the closest experience. Nisrachaku bene atzmam me'od. What happened? They finally realized just how far away they are. They came face to face, so to speak, with Hashem, and they realized how small they really are, how much more they have to go. If you're truly close to greatness, then you realize how small you really are. Some people say you can't come too close to certain people. You come too close to certain people, you realize they're just like everybody else, right? So that's true by famous people who are not of any real madriga, right? A person comes, it's a mystical figure, he's like a movie star, a basketball player, he's amazing, he's this, and you come, you meet him, and he's just like everybody else. Claims he's even worse, right? And they're bigger than, larger than life until you get to know them. But by the tzaddikim, the opposite is true. The closer you come to get to know them, the more you realize just how little you know about who they are. Just how great they are. And you begin to see in their lives every detail and everything about how amazing they are. And that's what the Klal Yisrael realized. They came to Matan Torah, they came close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, they realized just how far away they are from Hashem. Just how much closer they need to get. Moshe Rabbeinu was the closest human being to Hashem. No one has ever, and no one can ever come closer to Hashem like Moshe did. Right? He spoke to Hashem, panim al panim, face to face, so to speak. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, he was as close as you can come to. No one could be closer to God than Moshe. Nonetheless, he was also the greatest, the most humble of people. And so much so that he even felt that there was a barrier between him and Hashem. Because what does it say? V'Moshe nigash el ha'arafel. Moshe walked up and drew himself close to the fog. And in the fog, that's where God was, hidden. Ki arafel moire al chashchus, hamavdil mechase. What's a fog? A fog is something thick like a cloud. It covers, it conceals. You can't see through it, you can't see inside. It's dark in there. Even Moshe Rabbeinu felt there was something between him and Hashem. As close as he was. That's why he was the closest. Because he realized he was so far, that's why he was the closest. He is the only one who can come into the fog, and he can go in there and see Hashem. And so he says, HaRafel says, Begematria Shechina. HaRafel is the gematria of the Shechina, because that's where Hashem's presence is. Shahisrachakus agadol b'enei adam, who is skarvus l'shechina kedosha. If you realize just how far away you are, if you realize just how humble you are, just how much more you have to go, that's the closest you can come to Hashem. Because you can't be close if you think you're close. You can only be close if you realize how far you are. Inyan Hakdamas v'yishma Yisro l'matan Torah, we said that Yisro, who was so distant, shelo yahaya horosu l'daso b'kedusha, zachar yiskar of kal v'chomer yishu Yisraeli. Yisro, who was he? He was a ger. He wasn't just a ger. He was a ger. He was an oved avodah zara. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't the one who experienced Yiddishkeit the way we do. So if he could come close to Hashem, koshken, any Jew could come close to Hashem. Right? Because we are called Netzer Mata Kerem Hashem. We are called his vineyard, his orchard. V'zehu Ashri Adam Shomea Li Lishkod Al Dalsoy Sayom Yom. That's what it says by David HaMelech. Happy is he who listens to me. Who Shomea, like we said, V'yishma Yisro. What? Lishkod Al Dalsoy Sayom Yom. To stand and wait by my gates and my doors day after day. How does a person reach that madriga of yishma? We said if you only train your ears, if you only open your heart, how are you zoiche to that? What are you supposed to do? What's the eitzah? What's the advice? To hear, to desire, to want it. The answer is don't give up. Day after day after day, try. Don't worry about the past. This time it didn't work out, and that time it didn't work out, and you wanted to come to a shir and you couldn't, and you wanted to open up a sefer and something distracted you, and you wanted to do this and you wanted to do that mitzvah, and it didn't work out, and this happened and the other thing happened and you messed up and you fell down. The Sfarim say Arafel is also like the Yiddish word arupfa, which means to fall down. If you want to know how to come to Hashem, Nigash Moshe El Arafel Kisham Elokim. In the Arupfa, in the place where you fall down, that's where Hashem is. Because once you fall, once you fail, once you realize, you think it's all over. But if you pick yourself up and you go into the fog looking for Hashem, that's where you find Him. Al Yisyayesh, Yush is the worst. Don't give up. Lishkod al Soyisayom Yom. Stand by my gate, by my door, knocking day after day. Rak Yishkod al Dalse Shemayim. Yishomer Mitzapa Yom Yom. Day after day, you should try and wait and receive. And then you'll know, Ulai Zayom Yerucham V'Yiskarev. Maybe this day will be my opportunity. If you have it in mind that maybe today's the opportunity, Mitzvah Hashem, you'll find it. And then Yirei Neinu Be'orachaim. Hashem should help that we'll receive that light. Hashem should help that we'll come Matan Torah. We'll train our ears, we'll open our hearts. And even if we fall, and even if we fail, we'll be Shoket Al Dos El Se Yom Yom. We will try again and again. And even if we fall, we'll Hashem get up, and then Hashem will help us, and we'll learn to walk on our own, and we'll reach that place of Matan Torah where it says in the Sfarim that even Bizman Hazeh, a person stands by Kabbalah Satorah and hears the Seres Adibris, that he should hear Mirtz Hashem. He should have in mind, I think it says in the Kavayasha, that if a person has in mind daily that he's standing by Matan Torah, by Har Sinai, he's Zoichet in Mekabal Torah. Hashem should help, we'll be Zoichet in Mekabal Torah in this parasha as well. Sure. Yeah.